So we left off last time where we spoke about the Ramchal said there are three different levels basically of people, and we spoke about the loftiest level. As a reminder, the loftiest level are people who, even though they have very, very holy thoughts of I only want to do the right thing, and people who are tremendously scared to even do anything wrong, it was still like an earlier page, meaning like an earlier level in the book. Like the book is a lot more thick than what we're up to right now. But even though that's the case, because it's just into the machshava, so you could have a person that has a lot of holy thoughts, but they don't necessarily do the holiest of actions. And the example I gave at the end, I believe, was of Esav, where Esav's head, the Midrash says, went into Maras Machpelah. The rest of his body didn't, because he actually knew what he should have done. He knew a lot of good things, but he didn't actually follow through on those good things. So now we're picking up on the next level. The people lower than this. Now we're going to see this seems a lot lower. That the previous thing was all just totally lishma. So obviously, automatically, when you go from totally lishma, it has to be a certain component of lo lishma, where someone, in theory, wants to do mitzvos, but not necessarily for the right reasons, not for the sake of just serving Hashem. So he says over here, Af achla plusim e'ela tiyeh ha'ara lefi havchanasam. Based on the next level, based on their level and their motivation and aspirations. So hu lefi inyan ha'kavod asher he mit'avim lo. It's all based on kavod, all based on honor. And a lot of times, kavod happens to be one of the strongest motivations for people. And it's something that, like, let's say, for example, when it comes to jobs, like there are psychological studies, I mean, like people would overall probably rather take a higher position for a lower salary than a lower position for a higher salary. And it's a normal thing. I'm not saying that is necessarily a bad thing, but the idea of kavod itself, of just wanting honor and wanting fame for oneself, that obviously is not a good thing. So here, when it comes to serving Hashem for kavod, he's going to go into tremendous details about right now. V'zeh ki zeh pashut eitzel kol bal das, shen madregos mitchalkot ba'olam ha'miti. That, of course, when it comes to the thinking person, everyone knows that there are different levels that, of course, in olam haba, that it's not just like, it's not necessarily where there are certain times where a concert is offered, and the concert is first come, first serve, and you could go wherever you want. But most concerts, of course, and most sporting events, when you buy a ticket, and you buy a ticket, and you are where you get floor seats for $3,500, you get that, or you get nosebleed sections for $25, $30. But you're in the game, you're still there. So one might think, olam haba, yeah, once you're in. But no, everyone knows, of course, there has to be levels there. And what is it based on? It's based specifically on the actions that you do. When he says amasim, he's referring to the mitzvos, obviously. It's not just simple, mundane actions, but your level is going to be specifically based on your mitzvos. And the only way to be exalted in Olam Haba is when you have more mitzvos than the person next to you, right? It has to, obviously, Hashem's calculation is going to be very, very precise. So the hierarchy of Olam Haba is specifically the more Ma'isim Tovim, the higher you are. V'shalo yitromim sham, ela mishehu rav hamasim mechavera, v'asher hu me'at hamasim hu yiyah hashata. And the person who has the lesser mitzvos and more averos, obviously that person is lower down. Imkain, if that's so, efo, imkain, efo, eich yuchala adam lahalim einav masav, o limay tashtaluso bazeh, im achar kach vada yetzer lo bizman shalo yuchala take and tasher lo. That he says, imagine a person, if when you, in the next world, you are stuck at whatever level you are, then imagine how much pain a person who desires honor, imagine how much pain they will have when they see where they are, knowing that there are going to be people above them, right? It's, I want to be the best. I want to finish first. Hine yesh mehapsa'im. There are people who are foolish. Hamevakshim rak lahakel me'alehem. People who want to take the easy way out. And those people, Sheyomru lama niyaga atzmein b'chol kach hasidus uprishos. Why do I have to try to go for piety? It's not referring to literally a chassid like we know of, but it means someone who goes above and beyond with all the mitzvos. Uprishos, and someone who separates themselves from the physical pleasures of the world. He says, why do I have to do all of that? And he's really what he's saying is a person would have to be foolish, and he's going to explain why, to say that I don't need to worry about being pious. I don't need to remove myself from physicality. You know, my goal is just to not to be wicked. I don't want to get burned in Gehenna. That's my goal. I don't have to push myself so far and so hard to go into like the inner courtyard, basically, of Gan Eden, to get so much Olam Haba. It's okay. Im lo yelanu chilek gadol, yelanu chilek katan. If I don't have a big portion, like within the analogy, if I don't have courtside seats, if I don't have seats towards the bottom, okay, I have a small portion, that's enough. Anu dailani bazeh, that's enough for me. V'lo nachbir ol ma'asena bavurzos. And I don't need to work so hard for anything basically more than that. That's fine by me. It reminded me when I was learning this of the concept that I hear a lot from students of mine, and in general, I don't think it's just students, just kids who think like this, but the idea of, you know, it's about being a good person, it's about being a good Jew. That comes up in different contexts, but within this context of, I don't have to worry, I don't need to do so many mitzvot, it's about just being a good person, that's what matters. And of course, being a good person does matter, and it's important to be a very good person, but at the same time, a person also has to do what Hashem asks. And being a good person is one of the things Hashem asks of you, but Hashem also asks other things of you. Amnam, however, she'ila achas nishal mehem. He explains that when it comes to this person, now he's going to explain why the person who wants honor will never think like that. Because if he's a real thinking person and he wants honor, he's not going to say, you know what, as long as I don't burn in Gehenna, that's fine by me. I don't need to work so hard in this world. And he's basically going to say, the person's going to want to work hard in this world because he's going to want to be above other people for his honor. And here he goes. He says, "Amam sheila achas nishalmeim." He's like, but there's one important question they have to ask themselves. Hayuchlu kol kach al nekala lisbol ba'olam hazeh acholif. Is it enough for them to bear in this world, which is like the physical transient world that you're in and out of? Liros echa mechavrei mechubad imenusa yoter mehem umoshal lehem, to see someone who has greater esteem, greater honor than them, the kol shekein echa meavdeim omin haniyim hanivzim ushval beinam, and imagine like in olam haba. So this person, let's say they would be settled on just doing a little bit, and they get into olam haba, and you could imagine the pain they would see if their boss, who had more honor in this world, has more mitzvahs, also has more honor in the next world. And now he says, but not just that, omin haniyim hanivzim. If the people in the physical world who he viewed as lower than him, they made less money. They were much more simple people. So imagine if that person in the next world is also above him. He would go crazy. Imagine, would his blood not be boiling? Like how much pain he would have for this person to realize that if he doesn't really work hard in this world, then the people, everyone is going to be above him in the next world, even the people who he viewed as lower than him in this world. Lo vada, there's no way he'd be able to be settled with that. Kihine, inenu haroos, sorry about that, going for it now, sensitive. Kihine, inenu haroos, or I see, kol amal adam linase akol mish yuchav lasim mekomo bein haramim yoser, kihi kinas ishmerehu, that he says, and he quotes Koheles, where Shlomo Melech explains that a person has a tremendous desire, a tremendous kinah for their friend, for their neighbor, a tremendous jealousy. And it's impossible that a person would just allow and live life knowing that some people are going to be higher than them. Vim yirech aver mitromem, and remember, we're discussing someone who specifically really cares about honor. If he sees his friend go above him and he's remaining below, certainly it'll be too much to bear for him. And if he's working and doing whatever he can in this world, and he's maximizing, it'll still be painful for his heart to see that. Even if he works hard and maximizes himself, knowing that people are above him, it's too hard. Me'ata. Im kach kasha alem liot shvalim mizulatam b'maylot hamedumot ha'kolvos. If it's so hard for him to allow people to be above him in this world, which is the physical world, which is the false world, the transient world, shein ha'shiflus bam elo lefanim. The things are only superficial. V'lo ha'yinase ela shava sheker. And the status, everyone's status is all shava sheker. It's like falsehood. Eich yucha lisbol shiyiru atzmam. Imagine how much pain he would have seeing people who are, like I said, who are lower than him in this world be above him in the next world. That when it comes to the real world, the true world, the world that's precious. That even though right now he doesn't recognize its value and what it's really worth, therefore, lo yachushu elav, the person might not be concerned about it. Aval bizmano vaday shakiruhu lamito litzaram ulavashtam. Aval certainly bizmano in its time, certainly shakiruhu lamito litzaram ulavashtam. A person is going to work hard. And it's going to be something that being lower is going to be something that is extremely, extremely painful. A lot of times, I mean, like even for myself, every person has been jealous. Every person has desired and has coveted something. It's not a good thing. There's one of the Ten Commandments is to not covet, but it is a very difficult thing to really achieve. And therefore, even though it's difficult to achieve, we all know the feeling of wanting to excel in something. I've used the analogy in the past. I don't know if during the Mitzvah Sharm Shirim, I definitely said it in shul at points, during some Shabbos drasha. But when it comes to music, I used to very much, I still like play a little bit. But I used to, like, my dream was like to be like Eitan Katz, be like Shlomo Katz. And it was hard in a certain sense to not be envious. And it was certainly a very, very difficult thing because you see someone who you want to emulate and you want people to look at you like they look at them. Here we are now. So he says, so you see that this tolerance and willingness to basically only receive just a little bit, meaning that first thought that you would think the person would have, someone who cares about honor, is like, but I don't want to work so hard in this world. He's saying that's not a proper rationale, because when he thinks about it further, when he thinks about the point that he wouldn't be able to tolerate people who are above him in the next world, clearly that wouldn't be enough, and he would have to work hard in Olam Hazeh. The lo davar amiti klal. Because it wouldn't be, it's not like that argument of, I'm all right with a little, that's not going to be valid at all. And so it's interesting, actually, how within the three levels, we're going to see now actually we'll continue more, and then we'll go to the next level. Ukfar, continuing, Ukfar. Lo haya makom lepitui zelahem, lule hayurom amitata inyan, that this false delusion, other than a false delusion of without seeing the real world. Are we good over here? I think so. That if the person doesn't recognize the truth, that a person who basically doesn't recognize the truth, and it's natural for a person, of course, and there are plenty of cases, I would say, I don't know if the average person in the world, but many people, of course, fall into a mentality of, eh, it's fine, like, whatever, I'll be okay. And then at the end of their life, it's too late. The average case sometimes could be where at the end of their life in this world, they realize, but here he's discussing, I think, like, after you die, like, there's nothing you could do. You can't change it at all. We spoke about, and I think the first or second year, the Vilna Gaon on his deathbed was crying, and they asked, why are you crying? You're going to Olam Haba. He says, because in this world, I could wear as a pair of tzitzis, and I could do mitzvos, but once I die, I can't do anything. I'm done. I can't get any more schar, I can't get any more mitzvos. That you basically use all your might, all your koach, to perform, to serve Hashem, to do the mitzvos. Why? Because your thinking, your thought, your wisdom, and your actions, basically, none of it is going to be able to do anything for you in the grave once you die. So he says, work hard now. This is the only time. V'hainu, kimasha ein ha'adam. Let me see if we're... There we are. V'hainu. That whatever good a person does in this world, with all the strength that Hashem gave him, this is with the free will that Hashem gave you in your life, that Hashem gave you the free will in order to serve Him and do His mitzvos. You're unable to use any free will to serve Hashem anymore once you die. You don't have the ability in your hand. Because if a person doesn't accumulate mitzvos in this world, he doesn't have the ability to do it afterwards. And if a person, remember, we're discussing the midah of zehiros, about like thinking things through, calculating things. If a person isn't going to make a calculation of their actions, they're not going to be able to do it afterwards. If a person is not wise in this world, they're not going to be able to be wise in the next world. And that's where he says, as the same pasuk that we quoted before, that once you die, basically, you put all your efforts in this world, so once you die, you can't really do anything. And it's a very important idea, of course, on many levels, but the idea of not procrastinating, not pushing things off, recognizing the importance of what we have in front of us. Something a little intense. In it of itself is not necessarily intense, but when you think about it, it could be a little scary and intense. But my Rebbe, Rav Eli Marcus, so every Thursday night in Yeshiva Reish Yerushalayim, he gives Musar. And he said, he quoted the following from a Sefer that enables you to help to picture what eternity is. Because one of the difficulties, of course, is that we think about this world, and even, of course, when we believe in Hashem, believe in Olam Haba, we don't really weigh it out equally. We think maybe, like, okay, we have some time here, we'll try to be good, we'll mess up a lot, we'll try whatever, maybe, and then we'll get to the next world, and whatever. But we don't really think about the percentage of time where, like, David HaMelech says that a person's life is Shivim Shana, Vim B'Gvuro Shmonim Shana. We say that in Sukkot Zimran Shabbos, from one of the Prakim of Tehillim. A person's life is, what, 70 years? And if you're strong, 80 years. On a side note, there's a concept when it comes to birthdays. Birthdays aren't necessarily so Jewish in terms of celebrating. You can celebrate your birthday if you want. It's definitely not like a mitzvah to do. But there is a concept brought down to celebrate a 70th birthday or an 80th birthday because of that pasuk. That person lives 70 years. Oh, I lived a full life. And he says, because David says, and if you're strong, you live 80 years. So an 80th birthday is also certainly a very big thing. But to think about what eternity is, so think about the following. Quote this from, I forgot, some certain Musar Sefer, where he says, imagine If every 1,000 years, think about what 1,000 years is. Think about going back to the year 1,000, or think about how we are approximately 3,000 years from when we got the Torah, like how much time and like the amount of events and what that even means. It's hard to even fathom what that means. But think about 1,000 years, okay? Think for a second of what 1,000 years is. Okay, now imagine a bird. Imagine a bird every 1,000 years flies to the beach and picks up 1 grain of sand. And he takes that grain of sand and he flies off and he drops it into a specific location. And every 1,000 years goes back and picks up another grain of sand. And he says, imagine that location where he drops it, imagine that being a full mountain of sand. It's like hard to fathom how much time, obviously, that would be. So 1,000 years, every 1,000 years it takes a grain of sand. Imagine that being a full mountain. And now, the kicker is that that is still nothing compared to eternity. It's a really intense thing, right? To think about what eternity is, it just goes on forever. Like, it's much intense. But it is important at times to, I need it, I'm telling you I need it myself. It's important at times to realize the how we should focus ourselves in this world and the effort that we should put on certain things and specifically not putting a certain effort on other things is very valuable. I've been working on a side project not related to Torah pretty recently, and one of the things I hope is to always realize, and to always realize what is the ikar and what is the tufa. To not get confused with something that is secondary and make that something primary, and something that's primary make it something secondary. It's important, of course, like we're learning to have everyone's priorities straight, and to make sure that things are lined up. Like minimally in thought, that's what like is focusing on right now, but obviously to line that up in terms of action. And that happens to be the second level. So the level of honor and doing mitzvahs and serving Hashem, and that person might end up serving Hashem, but only because he wants to be higher up in Olam Haba. He says, Ach, ha'ara l'chol ha'hamon, the motivation for the mass of people, the general population, hine hu be'inyan eschar ve'onesh atman ber'osam, omek hadin ad heicha magia, is specifically about the motivation of reward and punishment, eschar ve'onesh, and about the intense fear of, and the intense awe of being judged, and where a person's going to go. Something interesting that's noted is that it's interesting how this is actually lower than the previous level. Because the previous level, like someone's doing it for honor. Like when I learned that, I was like, it seems very low. So it's saying this is actually even lower. Because when someone wants to serve Hashem, it's still low lishma when you're doing it for honor. But at least, like, I want to get Olam Haba and I want to do it because it's good to have honor in Olam Haba. But here it's, I just want reward. I just want to get some money. You know what I mean? That happens to be a lower level, and he's saying this is actually the general level of the average person. And I think a lot of times there is that motivation. Obviously, it's important to realize that not every mitzvah that every person performs is with the exact same motivation, right? There are times where you could do a mitzvah that's totally lishma, and times you could do a mitzvah for honor. Times you could give tzedakah because there's a person that you want to impress who's near the tzedakah box, or so someone sees you don't want to give anonymous, whatever. Maybe there's plenty of times where we do all different types of things, but overall, a person that is doing it for schar va'onesh, where it's good that they have a certain fear ad hecha magia, like what's going to be when I'm judged, asher be'emes royalis dazel is harei tamit, where they're going to be in tremendous constant fear and trepidation. Kimi yambo biyom adin mit tadek neboro. This is like coming out of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur davening, basically, where who could stand in front of Hashem when Hashem is going to calculate and be exact on every great or small detail that a person does. And I'll read the next pasuk, then I'll tell a probably concluding story, and we'll conclude. It says, "V'chein amar Rav Hussein zochron l'vracha," and it says in Chagiga, "Umagil adam masecho," that Hashem is going to tell you what your words are. Hashem's going to bring back conversations, replay conversations. Afilu sicha kalash ben ish ishto magidim al adam shasadin. Even simple conversations between a husband and wife are going to be replayed to you on the day of judgment. Also on a side, it's important to realize that that analogy of husband and wife, I think part of it is that husband and wife speak to each other a lot. So it's not just like, oh, that conversation you had with your boss or with this person you work for, like you speak to them pretty often. But like, husband and wife is the person you speak to the most in your life. So the fact that Hashem's going to play back all those conversations, and you have to be careful about everything you say, that's a very intense thing. We will conclude with a story from the Vilna Gaon. It's not really from him, but it's really from his wife. That story goes that his wife used to do chesed, used to do fundraising and raise tzedakah for the community there, and she did it with a friend, and they made a pact together that whoever passed away first, that person would come back to the other in a dream and tell them what the next world is like and what the judgment is like. Okay? So they made that pact, and I don't remember who it was who passed away first. I think it was the friend, if I'm not mistaken, but one of them passed away first, and a short while later, they came to the other in a dream, as they promised, and they asked, they said, "Oh, so what's it like?" So they said, "I can't really tell you what it's like, but let me tell you about the judgment. You remember that time when we went to raise money from a certain wealthy person in the community? And we went, we climbed the stairs up to his door. And we knocked on his door. And he didn't open up. And no one was there. And then you turned around and you saw him in the street. And you said, 'Oh, there he is. There he is.' That pointing that you did gives you a reward more than me for what I did." So, like, the intensity of how, it's not just, oh, we were raising tzedakah together, but like, every small detail of everything we do, and like we're saying right here, every small detail of everything we say is going to be weighed and judged and told before us, is something that certainly should shake us, and something that should give us more koach going into I guess thinking about this. Like, for me personally, a lot of times, even when I'm preparing the shiur, so like it makes me, like, puts me in a certain mentality. So when we give it over, of course, it hopefully enables all of us to be able to work together on the stuff and to be able to think about what is really important in life and what is not important in life. Okay, so shkoach everyone. Next week, because it's Pesach, obviously we will not be meeting Wednesday night. But especially because it's quarantine, it's not like people aren't going on Chol Hamoed trips, I think I will try to aim for being able to do something over Chol Hamoed on the Wednesday night of Chol Hamoed, Bez Hashem. Okay. Everyone, have a great night, okay?
Don't forget Kiddush Levana, guys.
Oh, yes. Very good. Shkoch, remember to do Kiddush Levana. Don't do it with other people, though, but you can do it by yourself. The halacha, you're actually supposed to say Shalom Aleichem to yourself 3 times and respond back. It's a very strange thing, but that's what you should do when you do it. Okay, everyone, have a...
Quick question. You say you're going to...